Is he enough for everything? Everything? That's what we're looking at in Colossians this morning. Colossians chapter 3 is where we're at. So turn there if you will, Colossians chapter 3. For sake of review, last week we were, verse 16, chapter 2, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Don't get caught up in these teachings that have a look of godliness, a form of godliness, saying, do this, don't do this, that's sinful. If you want to be closer to God, you've got to do this, and you got to make sure you don't do that. And if you don't get caught up in that, don't get caught up in that. Christ has done everything needed for your salvation. Christ is enough. He is. You're free in him, which is a truth we need to hear. But we, as fleshly human beings, hear a truth like that, and we swing. Whew. I'm free. Christ has done everything. I don't need to do anything. It's true. We don't need to do anything for our salvation. Our eternal security is secure in him. But does that mean we now live for ourselves and our flesh? Do we continue in sin that grace can abound? God forbid. No, absolutely not. Chapter 3, verse 1. I'll read our passage for this morning. We'll go down through verse 11. If, since then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our or your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Let's pray. God, would you help us this morning? We're a little shorter on time. We've got an election here. Would you help me as we work through this passage to speak clearly? This passage is needed. We need to hear this, as uncomfortable as it is. We need this. It's a crucial part to our understanding of your will, your desire for how we live. So would we, in this time, be able to walk away with a better understanding, a better knowledge of what you want, so that then we can live the way you want us to live. In your name we pray. Amen. Verses 1 through 4. Verses 1 through 4. This is the reality here. This is reality. This is it. If or since you've been raised with Christ, pay attention to this. Get this. Don't forget it. Okay? This is what you're doing. This is what you're supposed to be doing. How you're supposed to live. Your conduct. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seek heavenly things. Set your affections, your minds, your thoughts. This doesn't happen by accident. You don't just float and accidentally fall into a pattern of this. This is purposeful, deliberate. Set your mind on heaven. And it's not just things of heaven, okay? As you read through, it says things that are above, okay? And I want to help us to think through, what is this? The Preach the Word commentary says things above were not or are not material, but rather have to do with Christ's sovereign reign over the universe as he fills the universe with his power. They include, this is what we're supposed to be setting our minds on, set our minds on Christ's character, his presence, his heavenly joys. We're not to be seeking heavenly geography only, but the one who dwells there. You say, man, I feel like you're splitting hairs on this one. I'm not really, okay? And I hope in this little time you'll be able to see this. It's possible for us to selfishly stare at the things of heaven. What things would we lock our eyes on? Well, Matthew, you ever heard, I'm gonna get my crown, okay? I can't wait to run on those streets of gold. Are they gonna be there? Yes, we are told about them. We do look forward to those things, but they are not the main thing in heaven. We're not selfishly looking forward to those things. We are looking forward to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and being in his presence. And Paul is saying, if you have been raised with Christ, you are setting your minds, you are taking your brain and thinking, how did my Savior who is in heaven now, seated at the right hand of the Father, how did he live on this earth? What did he do? And I want to do that. I want to live like him. That is our greatest motivation, is being with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Heaven is going to be far more beautiful than anything we can ever imagine. And there are wonderful books written about heaven. And it is exciting to think about those things. But it's possible to focus on the things of heaven and your life here on earth not be changed. Your life here on earth not be any different. It happens. I love music, okay? I'm gonna call out a specific genre of music, Southern gospel music. I love Southern gospel music. I love the sound of Southern gospel music. But if all we do as Christians is sing about what heaven will be like, and our life exhibits none of the character qualities of Christ here on earth, what good is that? We are looking, we're setting our minds on being like Christ. We are looking forward to our reunion with him when Christ, verse 4, who is our life, appears, and we will be with him in glory. Why is this difficult for us to do? Because even though we have been bought by the blood of Christ, we still think that we get to control, we get to pick and choose what parts of our life we want to give back to him. And we've talked over and over about this over this last few weeks. If we've been bought with his blood, we offer ourselves wholly and completely a living sacrifice for him. We're his bride. We give ourselves to him now. A quote from John Piper, he says, far too much Christian thinking and preaching of our day has not penetrated to the root of how grace actually triumphs, namely through joy, and therefore is only half Augustinian and half biblical and half beautiful. Christ is all. He wants to be our all, our joy, our peace. He wants to be everything for us. He is better than anything this world offers. We find that hard to believe, though? Is he actually better? Does Christ actually, is he actually better than the pleasures of this world? Is he better than sex? Is he better than money? Is he better than security? Is he better than all of this? Augustine referred to Christ, or he's used this phrase, a theology of sovereign joy. Sovereign joy. Christ is over everything, encapsulating everything, and we are in Christ. He wants to be everything for us. We live still, though, in a fleshly body. Pinch your skin. Look at it. See it. Say, okay, I get it. Christ wants to be everything for me, but man, how? I mess up. I fail. I don't see him as everything all of the time, and we fall short. Why is this? Verse 4 says, Christ is our life. He has done everything. At the cross, he paid for it all. When we place our faith and trust in him, our old man died. We're given new life. Spiritually, I am alive again. But this body, this flesh, tempts me, and I am pulled by this flesh. So when this body dies, this body right here is going to be placed across the street in a grave. My soul is going to go be with the Lord. And then we look forward to, as 1 Thessalonians 4, 14, verses 14 through 17, they describe it like this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. We look forward to this day. With the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, their bodies that are buried in the ground, that have returned to dust, their bodies will be raised to be with him. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. And at that time, we are going to be given glorified bodies. Our bodies will be made new, 100% perfect. This will catch up to the spiritual inside. I already have life. I am alive as I can ever be. But this body here, oh man, we're going to get a new body, and then we will get to be with Christ forever. But for now, here we are. And so this thought comes up. Well, if Christ has done everything for me, he's done it all, well, then I guess I can live for myself. That's your flesh speaking. That's the pull of your flesh. And so here comes verse 5. Paul sees it coming. God sees it coming. He knows us and he pegs us here. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put to death. Some translations may have a little bit more passive of a translation here. I know a couple of them say consider. Consider it this way. And I think it could be bringing both of those as the translators have worked on this phrase. It's both a mental recognition, we need to know and understand, and then it's not just mental, it actually works itself out in our actions. It is physical. Both of these things come together in this putting to death, mortifying. The Amplified Version says, deprive of power, mortify, put to death your members, our members. What is that talking about? This, your fleshly members here. It's from this flesh that we are tempted and drawn away. It's our own lust. And so we need to make war against our flesh. That phrase is not original with me, making war against it. This list of things we make war against, these things that should have no part in the life of a believer: anger, malice, blasphemy, sexual sins, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Sin is wicked in the eyes of God, and it should have absolutely no part of a Christian's life. None. Zero. And so we actively fight it. We make war against it. There aren't a lot of songs that we sing in church. There aren't a lot of hymns that have been written about this, making war against our flesh. Some have been, probably in a genre not a lot of us are too familiar with listening to. I came across a song by a guy named Tadashi. It's Christian rap, okay? Christian rap music. And if it helps you just to think about it as a poem so you can hear it, do it that way. Because the lyrics of this song are spot on. Spot on, okay? Listen to these words. It's called Make War. It starts off with a quote from John Piper. He says, "I hear so many Christians murmuring about their imperfections and their failures and their shortcomings and their addictions, and I see so little war. Murmur, 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 complain, complain, complain. Why am I this way? Make war." And then it goes off into the song. Okay, listen, you can hear the words of some of these from the genre, but catch what he's saying here. Listen with me. No more playing games, man. This thing can get risky. So if you're in Christ, take up your cross quickly. Stand fearless on the front line. Do the right thing. Wake up. Let's get it. I'm not even in the ring, and they're throwing bows, elbows, like J.J. Redick, who was a dirty basketball player, throwing elbows. He's getting hit. They're persistently attacking me. They're even in the back of me. It's either fight or lose my life, and I can't take this passively. So, what do you think I'm about to do? I'm about to do what I can do. Trust the one who got me through and fight like it was after school. I'm not condoning fighting after school. This is what he's saying there with those two lines. Catch this. There is an element of us trusting in what God has done for us. It's been done, but we fight. It's both of those things. Trust the one who got me through and fight. Never giving up. Steady. Standing on the battlefield. Feet firm to the ground. Like I stepped on Chapel Hill. He's obviously a University of North Carolina fan. Feet or flesh feeling frisky. Sin persuades and tempts me. Satan cheers me on. Guilt followed by conviction. And it's the same old trap. And we fall like we're defenseless. Work your senses. Grow in wisdom. Stand firm and be relentless. Make war, because sin never sleeps. It's got me in a trance. I can see it in my dreams. Make war. I beat my flesh to the death, every breath like I beat my chest. I make war. Sun up, I make war. Sun down, I make war. Time in, I make war. Time out. Against lust, against pride, against me, till I die. Do you have a clue what happened to you when he died? When the tomb was rolled, when he rose in the sky? I think we emphasize sin so much that it makes us paralyzed. And we glorify struggle so much that it makes us terrified. And de-emphasize the fact that we have been sterilized from our old lives, and thus we have to snap out of it. We're not in a straitjacket. We're free. when Jesus died in our lives, something strange, awesome, powerful happened. I added a few lyrics there. He gave us power. Yeah, I know that we're sinners, but since he rose, he's renewing the image of God in us. Now we have to start making war. Now we have to start saying no to the fleshly impulses that Jesus Christ was dying for. The song keeps going, but we have to stop there. Make war. Why do we make war? Why do we fight sin? Why? Verse 6, on account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Men and women will spend eternity separated from God because of sin. It has no part in the life of a believer. God will punish it eternally. We have been set free from it. Do not continue in it. Fight it. Kill it. Make war against it. Why don't we make war on these things? We like them. We like how they feel at the moment. We don't understand how Jesus actually could be better. If getting drunk is something that you've struggled with, then pray to God for deliverance, for being controlled by something other than the Holy Spirit, and fight it like your life depends on it. Christ died for drunkenness. Don't continue in it. Don't make provision for your flesh. If the love of money has gripped you and you have lived your life pursuing this, it's sin, give it up. You know, what? Give it up? That seems a bit radical, doesn't it? Give it up. If something offends you, if something is causing you to sin, if it's something that you have been bound by and gripped by, Jesus tells us, cut it off. Gouge it out. If it's your eye that's offending you, rip it out. Pretty radical, isn't it? We fight harder to keep our comforts than to kill our sin. We fight harder to keep our comforts than to kill our sin. I'm not legislating a list of rules here. We can very easily form a list of rules and slip off into legalism. And that's not what we're doing here. This passage, though, is wanting you to think, wanting you to consider, how are you fighting what Christ died for? How are you killing it? It's there. You have to actively do this. It's all through Scripture. Proverbs 6 talks about it. How can you play with fire? Can you carry it in your bosom and it not burn you? It's specifically referring to sexual sin. But these things that have tempted us in our old lives, that gripped us and held us captive, we've got to stop playing games with it. Radically cut it out. Verse 10 reminds us. That's our old self. Verse 10, we've put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. So I hear this. I want to do this. I want to pursue Jesus. I want to love him, but it's just not there. I don't feel it. How do we do this? How can I be renewed? And this is a novel thought here. We will not be hungry for the word of God if we are snacking on the junk food of the world. Okay, it's been said before, but it's obvious. It's obvious. Why don't I have a love for Jesus? Okay, if a spouse said, you know, I don't understand why I don't love my wife anymore, but they're on the side with adulterous relationships, you would look at them and go, I think I might know. Maybe. If you cut that out, maybe if you fought against that, then you might return to your first love. And actually, God does more than just maybe. He actually says, as you fight your sin, as you put it to death, as you are being renewed in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is actively working in you, God actually will provide healing. He actually can go and give restoration. He says he'll do it. We have to trust him. We have to. There's no other option. If we don't, what good is your Christianity in the world? Read the Word. Return to it. Study it. And watch as the Holy Spirit uses his Word to change you, to change your thoughts, renew your mind, to help you think differently, to help you act differently. Trust his process that he will make you more like his son. Verse 11, here there's not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This verse, it does follow with his line of thinking, but think with me here, okay, to see why this is here. We've been tasked with killing sin, the sin that divides us. Sin divides. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from each other. Sin does not draw us closer to our human relationships. No, it drives wedges between us when we sin. It's only in Christ that all of the things that divide us as human beings are transcended. We, as believers, since we have placed our faith in Christ, we have Christ in us. We are all unified in him. We are all in him together. We are all in this fight against sin together. No one has any place to see or think of themselves as better than anyone else. In Christ, there is not Greek or Jew. There's not circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, legal immigrant, illegal immigrant, Back Creek Valley original family, transplants. No Russians, Iranians, Americans, no Kamala Harris voters, no Trump voters, no tattoo wearers or suit wearers in Christ. If you are in Christ, we are all one. And we come together to help each other learn more about him and to help each other in this race and pursuit of the one who gave his life for us. To help each other fight our sin. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we all need God's grace daily. So we gather to fight our sin and ultimately remind each other to look to Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who is returning. We remind ourselves of verses like Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Our citizenship here, our citizenship is in heaven. And we remind each other, hey, I see what you're doing there. I've been there before. I've struggled with that before. It's not worth it. Christ is enough. What you're chasing after over there, it's not going to lead you down the right path. Okay, I've experienced it. I've learned this from the Word. We encourage each other that Christ is enough. And we eagerly await, continuing with Philippians chapter 3, we eagerly await a Savior from there, from heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies, and we will be with him. So, look forward to being with him and live like him now. Live like he did today. Okay, how do I do that? What do I do? You'll have to come back next week. Or you can read the next verses and see, how did Christ live? What does he want me to do? How do I show off God's grace? How do I glorify him through my life? I'll invite the ladies to come up. The song we're going to sing in closing here if it is our true heart's cry, if the Holy Spirit would graciously use his word to convict us and to change us, we, as believers, we won't be the same. We will be changed. Let's pray. God, help us. We need you. We trust you. Would you help us to do what you've called us to do? And that is to kill the sin that we struggle with. Show us how to fight it, to put it to death, that we could live lives for your glory today. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.